Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to Season 2 of Incorp Global's Pro Business Podcast Series. For Season 2, Incorp is pleased to partner the Singapore Economic Development Board, or EDB in short, to deep dive into pertinent growth sectors in Southeast Asia and discuss potential business opportunities for companies looking to expand in the region. I'm Alfred, Incorp's Chief Commercial Officer and your host for this episode. Very briefly, Incorp provides an integrated and extensive suite of corporate solutions and business advisory services across 8 markets in Asia Pacific. Please do visit our website at www.incorp.asia and subscribe to our YouTube channel to access more business insights and content. For today's episode, it is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Hansel Tao, who is the EDB's Regional Director for North America, and our esteemed guest, Mr. Kel J. Lim, who heads Decacon Grab's financial group. Together with Hansel and Kel J., we will explore Southeast Asia's fintech landscape, including an inside track on Grab's journey in this episode. A very good day, gentlemen. Perhaps I can get Hansel to kick us off with a quick self-introduction.
Hey, thanks, Alfred. Hey, everyone. So this is Hansel, the Regional Director for the Singapore Economic Development Board. In my role, I lead EDB's engagements with tech companies across the East Coast. And I've seen some pretty exciting stuff happening, especially in the fintech space, as you can imagine, from New York.
Thank you, Hansel. And Kel J, over to you.
Thanks, Oliver. Hi, Hansel. So I'm Kel J and I lead the Grab Financial Group on the fintech side. I've been with Grab for over 8 years now, so I've been really privileged to be able to see the journey that we've been on from growing from almost nothing to what we are today. More importantly, though, I think very privileged to be able to be part of an organization that serves literally millions of people across Southeast Asia every single day and across multiple verticals as well, from mobility to deliveries and now in financial services.
Thank you, gentlemen. It is really our pleasure to have both of you in this episode and really looking forward to Kel J sharing more of your personal stories and anecdotes about Grab's journey. I thought we can start today's discussion by helping our audience paint the fintech landscape in Southeast Asia. And the term fintech is very broad and rightly or wrongly is often associated with e-payments, which is but a small subset. Hansel, could you help us explain the term fintech and talk us through why this is such an exciting space in Southeast Asia?
Sure, Alfred. So if I think about fintech, right, it's really a combination of two words, finance and technology. We can also think of it in terms of the evolution of digital payments and how technology is enabling finance to happen, both at the B2B as well as the B2C level. And then if we think about the evolution of the digital payment space, we can sort of like bucket it in four eras. First, starting off with the transition away from cash into what you probably are familiar with, credit cards. So when Bank of America launched their Bank of America card, back then known as Visa, it was the first credit card and it was the introduction of people moving away from cash-based payments. Then with the rise of e-commerce, you saw companies like PayPal coming in to take advantage of the advent of the internet and allowing transactions to happen over your desktop or your computer. Then next came the shrinking of the computer into individual mobile phones that people carry on their pockets. And if you can think about making a transaction happen over a computer, why can't you make a transaction happen over the mobile phone? So that was the mobile revolution where you have the likes of Google Pay, Apple Pay, and Alipay today. And then in the fourth bucket, which is what we're starting to see today, is that convergence and bundling of services where with more and more apps coming up, people are starting to think about how can I just operate primarily on one single app. So if you think about operating on one single website, in the mobile age, that concept can be extrapolated to having this idea of super app where you can perform many different services, including banking and financing on one app rather than having to toggle between many different apps. So Alfred, you kind of asked about what's exciting about fintech. I think the most exciting thing, at least in our part of the world in Southeast Asia, is that within Southeast Asia, we kind of jumped away from cash payments and went straight into mobile and maybe the super app, the third and fourth era. And the reason for this is that when credit cards were introduced, when the e-commerce era came about, Southeast Asia didn't quite keep up in terms of technology yet. Many people remain unbanked. Many people didn't have connections to the internet. As more and more people get access to that digital era, with more of the Southeast Asian population becoming digitally literate, they jump straight into the mobile revolution and jump straight into the idea of operating on apps rather than on websites and URLs. So then the super app phenomenon has basically turbocharged in Southeast Asia. Whereas if you think about the US where I'm currently based, the concept of a super app is still relatively novel. And just because of the legacy of the credit card industry, credit card payment is still the primary mode that people use to make transactions as compared to mobile payments or even a super app, which is pretty rare in the US these days.
Thanks, Ansel. I fully agree with you on the drivers for fintech in Southeast Asia. And I think you mentioned a few key ones, such as the acceleration of digital adoption, about growing pool of mobile-first internet users in Southeast Asia, as well as the significant unbanked population. So, Kel, if I may turn over to you, from your vantage point at Grab, where within Southeast Asia do you see the greatest activity and buzz around some of these trends that Hansel has highlighted?
Most recently, I think COVID has accelerated the adoption of digital finance, particularly in payments. One of the things that we see that's happening, if I were to pick one trend, would be BNPL or Buy Now, Pay Later. And this is a global trend. It's a trend that's been growing in the US, in Europe, in Australia. It's been very popular because it benefits both sides of the ecosystem. On the consumer side, for a market like Southeast Asia, 9 in 10 today have no access to credit cards. And so there is a need that this particular product is addressing. And on the merchant side, so the businesses, now they're seeing more sales with the advent of BNPL, because when someone goes onto their website and make a purchase, typically the basket size is bigger. It also helps to unlock a segment of users who they would typically not be able to reach otherwise. I'll give an example. So Grab has a Buy Now Pay Later product called Pay Later by Grab. And we launched this almost about 12 months ago in two markets, Singapore and Malaysia. And we've seen very good traction since the launch. When we talk to our merchants who have used this product, they are getting, you know, a lot more sales coming through ever since turning on Pay Later. An example is a merchant called Mega Furniture. They're a home and living type of company online, and they've seen their transactions on GrabPay online increasing by 3 times ever since turning on Pay Later. And this trend, it is going to continue to grow quite rapidly across the region, and we still see a lot of headroom there.
Thanks, Kelji. I think my personal takeaway from your sharing is that Southeast Asia has strong fundamentals in terms of enabling greater penetration of fintech solutions. And some of the trends that Hansel has highlighted also speak to these strong fundamentals. So maybe, Hansel, if I may turn over to you, what is Singapore's approach in terms of enabling fintech companies to thrive in this part of the world?
Fintech is amalgamation of two words, right? Finance and technology. And I want to zoom in on the latter word, the technology part. Our approach to engaging fintech companies is really to treat them as a technology-first company. And in doing so, they can feed into the tech ecosystem that we've built up. So even though we have a population of 5 million, so you'd think that Singapore is human resource constrained, but we've worked really closely with the universities, the polytechnics in Singapore, and Queen Bee companies, the likes of Google, the likes of Grab, to train tech talent and to train them not only to end up returning to the companies themselves, but to overtrain for the industry. So what that really means is that, for example, if you take Google, they've announced that they will be training 3,000 cloud engineers. And you could be thinking, why would Google need 3,000 GCP engineers, right? Google Cloud Platform engineers. The reality is that even if 80% of these engineers who are trained don't return to Google, they end up joining companies who then go to their management and say, look, I know how to use GCP, let's use their services. So it's a benefit for Google. And in the same way, if we work with a company like Grab to train software engineers, if these software engineers are familiar with Grab, a SaaS-based product, they could help then on-sell some of these B2B services. So that's the way we are working with companies to build up that tech talent pool in Singapore, to ensure that any fintech company that comes in, as long as they're operating as a tech company, they have access to the tech talent that's available in Singapore. Because really, tech talent is the lifeblood of any tech company, right? Fintech or otherwise. The other way that we're building that tech ecosystem is through something that I like to call a Singapore Plus model. If I'm being honest, Singapore is not the most cost-competitive location, but we are competitive in certain skill sets and jobs and roles. So what if we offer the companies the chance to take advantage of the stability, the security, the quality of talent in Singapore, and at the same time take advantage of the cost competitiveness in our neighboring region? And we've partnered with Indonesia in Batam, we've partnered in Johor Bahru in Malaysia to zone out an area where we could build up that tech talent bench strength to complement the workforce in Singapore. So have your product managers in Singapore, but maybe your Java team in Batam, for example.
Thanks, Ansel. I think this is a good segue to hear from Kelvin on Grab's journey. So Kelvin, Grab actually started out as a ride-hailing company and has since extended into other domains like financial services and payments. How did Grab find yourself in the fintech space, and why did Grab choose to scale regionally from Singapore?
Yeah, good question, Alfred. It actually happened gradually over the years. So for financial services, the very first product that we introduced in the market, it was our GrabPay product, and it was meant to support our ride-hailing business at that time because we wanted to continuously improve the user experience for ride-hailing, and having to deal with change in the car, that's just really clunky. And so we introduced cashless payments so that people can just jump into the car, get to their ride safely, and then jump out. No need to worry about payments. Yeah. What surprised us was the adoption of it. So adoption of GrabPay as a payment method took off quite rapidly. And then within maybe a year or so, we saw literally millions of people using GrabPay. Now, around the same time, we've also served our driver partners, our delivery partners, our merchants for a while. And we also realized that many of them actually don't have access to the traditional type of financial services. And then we started to extend products like Merchant Cash Advance. So this is the product we introduced to our merchants who needed cash flows to help with their business. For our driver partners, we introduced a Pay Later product. So we work with a list of merchants that would benefit our driver partners. So it ranges from fuel, their mobile phones, even other electronics, white goods, and so on, whereby they're able to purchase the product and then we just deduct it off their weekly income. Yeah, so it's make it very, very simple for them. And so with that, that's how we kind of entered into the world of financial services. And in 2018 is when we actually announced the Grab Financial Group. And then more recently, well, 2020 was when we were awarded the very first digital banking license in Singapore in partnership with Singtel. And this year, we are hoping to get the bank up and running.
Thanks, Kelvin. If I may stay with you, I think how Grab actually entered into this space is really about two keywords. One, adjacency, and two, taking an integrated approach to enhance consumer experience. Grab is today widely seen as one of the first super apps in Southeast Asia, and I think Hansel also introduced the term super app earlier on in one of his responses. So for our audience who are less acquainted with Southeast Asia, could you please tell us what is a super app and what is Grab's experience in terms of your journey of building a super app in Southeast Asia?
Sure. For this, I'll have to rewind back a bit further to when we actually started the company. So Grab started in 2012 in Malaysia. And one of the biggest motivation to start was safety in transportation. Since then, it's evolved into many other things. Now, in 2018, we acquired Uber's Southeast Asia business. And with that, we kind of inherited their Uber Eats business. So that's their food delivery business. And that was when we actually launched Grab Food in a big way across the region. So that was about 4 years ago. Since then, we have expanded into other types of deliveries, like Mart, where we deliver groceries and fresh goods. Grab Express is a service where anyone can just use it and deliver documents or anything for that matter. So we're really in the business of trying to make people's lives every day a little bit easier. Now, going into financial services, as part of the Grab Financial Group, we offer products that includes payments across multiple channels, whether it's online, whether it's GrabPay card, which you can use to pay on any merchants around the world. You can also pay in the store using the QR code. We are integrated with, for example, the Singapore SGQR and PayNow QR programs. So that's payments. We also now offer lending. I touched on it a little bit about the products that we offer to our merchants and our driver partners. We offer insurance to our customers. And then the latest vertical we have is investments. And we've got one product in the market in Singapore. We're launching a second one very soon. And then I mentioned also Digibank. In a nutshell, this is the journey of how Grab evolved from a taxi booking app into a lot more services, and there will be a lot more. And the whole idea here is, again, making the everyday lives of our customers a little easier while at the same time empowering what we call everyday entrepreneurs, right? Our driver partners, delivery partners, our merchants, to make an income on the Grab platform.
Kelje, you know, reflecting on what you shared about Grab's journey and even the different services that Grab provides today, the way I think about Grab really is the new age conglomerate that is going to be in everyone's lives. And regardless of what we do, especially in Southeast Asia, it's sort of the app, the company that you're going to be interacting with. But as much as I hear many different companies talk about the reasons why they choose Singapore, I'd really love to hear from you as well what your experience were as you build out the different services within Grab, and how at the end of the day, it really made sense for a large chunk of that business to be orchestrated out of Singapore.
Sure. It's got to do with our fundraising journey. For our Series A, very honored and privileged to have Vertex, which is a subsidiary of Temasek, to be the lead investor on. And when we raised the Series A with them, they were very encouraging and also very convincing in terms of moving our business to Singapore. And of course, Singapore is known globally to be a very open and conducive environment for businesses and startups. Yeah, and so that's a very big reason for why we eventually did move to Singapore. When we started operating the business in Singapore, we also realized that the regulations and the policies that was put in place, that was already in place and then put in place later on, were very forward-looking, it was very business-friendly. I give you an example. Now, when we launched ride-hailing back in 2013, the whole world was like struggling, like, okay, how do we even regulate this? And I was the country head for Grab Singapore at that time. And so I spent a lot of time with the regulators just trying to figure this out together. And, you know, happy to share that Singapore was one of the first to actually regulate the ride-hailing industry in the region. They didn't clamp it down like some other parts of the world. They just outright banned the service, even though they saw there's a real utility and a real problem that we're trying to solve. So Singapore didn't do that. Singapore, in fact, was very forward-thinking in terms of the regulations. More recently, I mentioned this many times, is the issuance of the digital bank license. Singapore issued the very first digital bank license in Southeast Asia in 2020. The last point I want to make is really talent. You touched on that as well. And it's very true, yeah? So talent, as for a tech company, everyone is fighting for tech talent. And Singapore is a great place to look for talent and to be able to bring talent from elsewhere, from the Valley, from India, from China, because they do see Southeast Asia as the very fertile ground for all this innovation that's happening. At Grab, we actually have multiple R&D centers around the world, but Singapore remains our biggest one.
Thanks, Kelje. I think you have set us up for the final segment of this podcast by talking about what Singapore has done right, and in essence, what are some of the advice for companies that are looking to set up their fintech outfits with a focus on Southeast Asia. I think there are four aspects that one should consider. The first one really is about locating or operating in an environment that has pro-business and pro-tech kind of policies. The second one really is for companies to base themselves in a location with a strong and well-developed ecosystem that encompasses both the financial as well as the tech aspects. The latter is particularly important, as Hansel has highlighted, really, because technology is at the heart of change, and fintech really is about technology playing an enabling role. I think talent, both of you has mentioned quite strongly, is clearly the third aspect. And finally, companies should also aim to base themselves in a location that provides sufficient access to local and global capital providers that will enable growth across the different funding stages. I think those are the four key takeaways that I have from both your sharing and also from Hansel's sharing. And maybe coming down to the final aspect, would there be certain advice that you can give to would-be fintech companies that are looking to enter Southeast Asia, and focusing on what are some of the potential pitfalls that they should look out for? Maybe Kelje, if I can have you answer this question.
Sure. Thanks, Alfred. To answer your question, I think the first thing is, given how diverse Southeast Asia is, what we've tried to do, it was to always be as local as possible. So the term hyperlocal is a term that we like to use because there's no one-size-fits-all solution to the problems that our customers face every day. And that's why in each market, we hire local teams who really truly understand the problems on the ground. And this has sort of materialized a lot of the things that we do. The other thing is the mission that we have, which is at the Grab level to empower everyday entrepreneurs in Southeast Asia. And then in the Grab Financial Group, we want to bring financial inclusion to the underserved. these missions are obviously very lofty, very big missions, and most companies have similar big missions as well. To us, we quickly realized that we can't do this on our own, and therefore partnerships is important, whether it's private or public partnerships. I give a few examples of some of the public partnerships that we have done. Closer to home, we work with MAS, the banks, other fintechs as part of the Payments Council. And some of the things that we discuss is how to make all our mobile wallets interoperable. And how do we drive the adoption of e-payments? How do we fight fraud across the financial sector? We also work with, and this is a non-financial example, in the Philippines, we work with the Department of Agriculture. We actually enable farmers, or what the locals like to call agripreneurs, to sell their goods, their fresh goods, directly to consumers, cutting out the middleman across Metro Manila. They basically utilize our Grab Express service to do the fulfillment. Another example, in Indonesia, we work with the Ministry of Cooperative and SMEs, where we help 200,000 small businesses to go online. You can use services like Grab Food or Grab Mart, or even our network of Grab Kiosk agents too. And then we help them promote their new online business to our customers. Lots has been done, but lots more to do. And we invite partners to join us on this journey.
Thanks, Kelje, for sharing your insightful points and stories. I think coming down to the final part of today's podcast, I wanted to have both of you complete a sentence. I think the key thing is really about highlighting once again why Southeast Asia is such an exciting proposition for fintech companies. And maybe, Hansel, I can have you to go first in this. Could you please complete the sentence? I am excited for fintech in Southeast Asia because...
Oh, Alfred, so much to unpack there. I would need a paragraph rather than a sentence, but I think KLJ summarized it really well. If you're going to be excited about one thing about Southeast Asia, it's the power and the potential of a population of 600 over million. And I'm addressing my US audiences here because I'm based in New York. That's twice the population of the Americas. So that's what I'm really excited about.
Thank you, Hansel. And how about you, KLJ, for the final word for this podcast?
Sure. And I will just add on to what Hansel is saying, just to continue on that. 600 million people in Southeast Asia, that's true. And a lot of them also remains underserved by the traditional banks, financial institutions. And that's where technology can really help to bridge that gap. And I'm really excited about the potential that we can unlock with the technology that we have in our hands right now, whether it's mobile technology, whether it's blockchain. And I think the potential is really endless.
Thank you, KLJ. I think the key word over here for our audience to pay attention, fin and tech, as what Hansel has kindly shared, is really about technology being that enabling role and enabling capability that unlocks some of these potential opportunities for companies and also for consumers. And with that, we have come to the end of today's podcast. Sincere thanks to KLJ and Hansel for your interesting insights and stories, and for our audience for tuning in. We hope that our audience can join us for our next episode, in which we will cover the exciting medical technology space in Southeast Asia. Besides this podcast series, InCorp Global and the EDB have also worked together to develop an ebook that seeks to unpack the business landscapes and operating environment in each of the 10 Southeast Asian countries to help business leaders and entrepreneurs better understand the different Southeast Asian markets to chart your market entry and/or expansion strategies. To download this ebook and access information on InCorp's other services, please do visit us at our website at www.incorp.asia. Thank you once again to both gentlemen and our audience. Please take care, and we hope to see you soon. Cheers,
thank
guys.
You. Thanks, Alfred. Thanks, Kelje.
Thank you very much.
See you guys.